Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermenministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, welcome to the Grace Chapel service out here at Grace Ranch in West Texas of the Fisherman Ministry. Let's join together in praising and worshiping the Lord. Amen.
We have an old song in a new way.
Lord, give the Lord a cheer. Hallelujah, Lord. You know, Father, we know that you love us. I know sometimes we feel unlovable and therefore wonder how it is that you can love us. But that's a thought we just have to put right out of our mind, just right out of our mind. And I pray, Lord, if there's anybody out there who has such thoughts, that right now, in the name of Jesus, those thoughts would just evaporate and that they would receive that love that you have for them and go forward in that. And Lord, while you love us, the part that's on our part is we need to love you. And I pray, Lord, may you work with each of us and show us how to do that, how to know your will and to do your will, that we may each partake fully of all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to give Rick a chance to preach today.
Amen.
If he can get untangled. We'll just give him a moment here to get untangled. You guys can't see out there. Rick's got a lot to untangle.
I got it. Don't worry, ain't you kidding. I ain't you serious about that. More than I care to want to think sometimes. All right, well, that song really says it all, doesn't it? We all have stuff that we have to deal with. Stuff, whether it's past lives, whether it's Corey had stuff. He had lots of stuff. He had warrants and jail time stuff, right? You're not the first one that's crossed our paths with that particular problem. We have stuff. The thing is that the world's stuff chokes out God's stuff. Just robs it, robs you. See, that song says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, God knows we need things. He knows we need to eat. We really need clothes. I mean, particularly me. I mean, let's not get crazy, but He knows I need to be dressed. But He knows what we need. In fact, the scripture says He knows what we need before we even ask Him. He knows this thing. He's, for whatever reason, our minds get sort of screwy. And we put this I don't know, this caricature of God is that he's some mean, nasty guy that just wants to steal all your fun. Anybody ever felt that? Anybody ever had that impression? I mean, be honest. But that's not God, is it? I mean, Corey, you've been through a massive deliverance. You and Maggie, just massive deliverance of God's abundant grace and goodness. And what did it really require? Did it require you doing some big, great grant? No, it just required you doing what? Seek ye first. Put God first, right? And he knows what you have need of. He also knows what will hurt you if you get too much of it, so he keeps that away from you, right? But God, we serve such a good God. And for whatever reason, and I know what the reason is, see, our flesh hates God. Our carnal man hates God. And if you agree with that, if you agree with your carnal man, then your perspective of who God is and what God wants for you and how much he loves you, it gets all screwy. It gets all messed up. And you start taking correction as, you know, not what it's meant for. See, God says he chastens those he loves, right? And he scourges every son whom he receiveth. It also says that at the time, it isn't really a happy time when that happens. But it's good for us, amen? It's good for us. And a lot of times what happens is we find ourselves in a place where we're there because we didn't seek ye first the kingdom of God. See, we started seeking our own things. We started seeking what we want. And then I'm a guy, Steve knows, if I want a thing, let me tell you, I can justify it. Pretty hard and heavy. I mean, I can make that work. So oftentimes to my detriment, every time to my detriment, when that thing isn't God's thing. And you find yourself, or I find myself, in a place where I almost get a little bit hopeless. The right word? I don't know if that's not the perfect word I'm looking for. I get sort of where it's hopeless. But see, that's not of God, is it? Is God a hopeless God? No, God's a God of mercy and love and forgiveness and redemption. Amen? So that hopelessness is not of God. That's of the devil. That's that old man wanting to keep you in that space. So you got to throw that away. And then you go back and you, well, we sang the first song, is Jesus loves you. What does that mean? If Jesus loves you, that's a good thing, right? I mean, how much does he love you? Well, you know, if we go over real quick to Romans, it's here somewhere. My arms are getting shorter. I think it's here. Okay. Here it is. Romans chapter 5. Let's talk a little bit about God's love. And if I get emotional, I ask you guys to forgive me, because when you come face to face to the realization or the recognition of just how much you need Jesus, and you begin to get a glimpse of just how wicked and evil your heart is, then his miracle and his gift that he did for you becomes that much bigger. So verse 6 here. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the who? Ungodly. See, that's you, and that's me. Ungodly. Ungodly. Before you met Jesus, before you came face to face with him, had you ever really considered yourself as evil and ungodly? Probably not. Now, I have a different background than a lot of you guys. See, I grew up with my dad, right? So, and my mom was very religious. So, I mean, I don't know a time where I wasn't in church, okay? So I just always had church. Unfortunately, the churches I went to were not about preaching the gospel in the sense of how much you need Jesus. They were about telling you how good you are, and Jesus is happy to have you. Oh, kind of a, that's bass awkward, isn't it? But that's what they preach today. That is the gospel of the modern church. God's lucky to have you. No, but that isn't what this says. He died for the ungodly. Ungodly. So that's where I find myself, is, you know, ungodly, in desperate need of help, in desperate need of a Savior. Goes on to say here, says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while ye were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, think of that for a minute. I mean, you ever go out of your way for somebody? Do something nice. Did you do it for somebody because they were nice to you? Or, you know, was there a reciprocal thing going on here? Or, I mean, I listen to people when they get into the whole Christmas season and stuff. You know, it's about gift given and received. You know, what am I getting? And if I'm going to give, then I better get, right? Well, Jesus isn't like that. He died and made a way for all of us to be free and be saved and be delivered and be healed and be, gosh, just completely free of all of that garbage while we were yet sinners. When we had done nothing, nothing, but be his enemy. That's when he did it. That's love. Amen? That's love. So when I go back and I think of that, seek ye first the kingdom of God, you know, sometimes we get seeking all this other stuff because we actually don't believe that Jesus is going to take care of it. I did that for years and years and years about a wife. Steve remembers all the girls I went through in Vermont. It was slim pickings, but I tried. I didn't believe God. I didn't believe he was going to handle it. Then finally he handled it. I learn more every day about the goodness of God. The carnal man, the carnal mind, every day tries to get you thinking that God isn't good. You can't listen to that. You can't give that any space. You cannot give that even, we were talking before service in Steve's office and they mentioned weeds, you know, if you have a garden, you get the weed out immediately. If you don't get it out immediately, what happens? It takes over. And those things that would come against you, mostly out of your own carnal nature, to tell you anything other than God loves you and anything other than he will keep his promise. He will fulfill what he said he was going to do every time. You can trust that. And anything that would tell you otherwise, you got to get rid of it. Put it off. Reject it. Give it no space. Give it no space. And then as you begin to do that, your whole perspective on everything that's going on around you is going to change because you're going to see it through the goodness of God. You're going to see, you're going to begin to see God's hand of goodness in your life. Even when it's something you don't like at first, even when it's something new or something different or some big dramatic radical change that you think your world is ending, oh my God, that's it. But if you go back and remember that God is what? Good. God is light and in him is no darkness at all. I could go over to 1 John chapter 1, which is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, because there's everything in there. The goodness of God, the fact that there's a means for when we screw up, there's a means for that to get fixed, praise God, right? My little children, I write these things unto you that ye sin not. But if ye sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. That goes back to Romans 5. He died while we were yet sinners. And you will never, ever, ever deserve that sacrifice. You will never be able to be good enough to earn it. You will never be good enough or righteous enough for it to have made sense for him to have done that. It will never happen. He loved you or loves you because he loves you. That's it. He just loves you. He loves you. And when that stuff comes into your life that's hard to hear and you don't know how to deal with it, well, you know what? There's someone that knows how to deal with it. Who is it? Who is it? Everybody, who is it?
Jesus.
Jesus. Does he love you? Yes. Does he want you to be close to him?
Yes.
Does he want you to know his ways?
Yes.
Does he want to have a relationship with you?
Yes.
Amen. Then anything, any thought, any emotion, anything, whether it's from left field or in your own brain, anything that would tell you otherwise is a lie. Is a lie out of the pits of hell. Because the goodness of God can't be questioned. Cannot be questioned. It is certain. It is sure. It is steadfast. And you can trust it. Amen.
Forever you will be
the Lamb upon the throne.
I like that. I will gladly bow my knee. Think of that. Oh, almost dropped my falling apart Bible, the one I love even though it's falling apart. Gail tried to get me a new Bible. She did. Thank you, Gail. But I can't help loving my old falling apart Bible, so forgive me that I still use it, Gail. I love you, girl. Praise God. See, one of the things I want to hit on about the goodness of God here for a moment that people miss, and it's one of the things that people don't see, is that when you look at Jesus for a moment, when you just look at Jesus and you look at his life, Scripture says that Jesus was a man of sorrows. Pretty easy to understand, right? When you look at his life of being rejected and the like, that he would be a man of sorrows. He would have sorrow. And yet, let me ask you, if you had a life to live on this earth, if there was anything you could partake of, is there any higher life that has ever been lived on this earth to aspire to? Not even anything remotely close. You know, it's interesting. One of the things you read over, and I think it's in Proverbs, and it talks about with wisdom comes sorrow. Odd thing, isn't it? Yeah, you'd think you'd just be all excited about having something like wisdom. But see, one of the problems with wisdom that people don't realize is that as you have wisdom, then you see things as they are. You see the hand of God in things, and you see how people don't see it. And you see how they're robbed. They're robbed left, right, center, all the time. Just all the time. And you don't want to have them robbed anymore. You want to help them so that they're not robbed. That's what you want to do. You want to help them so that they're not robbed. You can see they're being robbed, but they can't see it for themselves. And a lot of times when you try to go help them, they're angry with you. They're angry with you for helping them, and they think that you're their enemy when all you're seeking to do is you can see something they don't see. As Rick was sharing a little bit this morning, there was a verse in Ephesians chapter 6, I think it is, that I just want to take a little look at because it says something that people miss. And see, when I was using the example of Jesus here as far as a life that was higher, would you not want, if you're a parent and your child is sick, to see your child healed? Would you not want, Robin brought it up to somebody, I think, not too long ago, about Joe, and she was, and to this person they were talking about when Joe was raised from the dead, that, you know, as though, well, it had to happen kind of thing. No, it didn't have to happen. Did not have to happen at all. Very easily could have happened that Joe would be in the grave right now and dead. It didn't happen because I chose to believe God and step out in faith, believing God, and Joe was raised from the dead. I've seen many, 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 many different situations. I can tell you my own life itself on multiple occasions since I came to the Lord, was sought to be taken. One time when I fell asleep and hit a guy at 55, 60 miles an hour on a corner on a small highway in Vermont. You know what I was doing when I fell asleep? I was listening to the Word of God, and I was praying. And I hadn't gotten much sleep for a long time, and I was driving back from Mooresville on a ministry journey. And I came back, and I was exhausted, because if you knew me, especially back then, none of that mattered to me. And unfortunately, on Route 12, there's not a lot of places to pull over. So I didn't really have a great place. I guess I could have pulled off the road, and I don't know where I could have gone. But I was driving, and I fell asleep, hit this guy hard. I mean, destroyed the front end of the car. When Ricky Baldwin saw it, and he saw what had been done to the car, his comment, well, he was amazed that I was alive. Now, if you'd been me in that cockpit, so to speak, in the driver's seat, when that thing hit, it was like being in a bowl of Jell-O. The gentlest, just the gentlest thing ever. I remember I hit the guy. That woke me up. Praise God. It woke me up. Woke me up, and I hit him. I mean, and I hit him just behind the driver's side door. I mean, I hit him, and as I hit him, I could see his head and face and things like that. I hit him just behind the driver's side door hard. He had a station wagon. I had a little Hyundai or something like that. Bam! And the whole front end, everything lost, all the steering gone, everything. And it was amazing. I mean, I'm like kind of, I got kind of the, I don't know if you've ever been in that situation where it doesn't matter what you do with the steering wheel, it's just going where it's going. Well, I was in that situation just doing nothing, and the car just kind of on a three-point stance kind of stopped right on the side of the road perfectly, like I was parallel parking in the kind of non-existent shoulder. And I was there, and I saw the guy as I hit him in the rearview mirror. I saw him going off into the snow, and I remember praying for him because I was fine. I mean, me, there was nothing. But I knew I hit him hard, and there he is going billowing off into the snow, and I didn't want anything to happen to him. And, you know, the Lord saved me that day. And there's been other times. I've fallen asleep, crossed two lanes of traffic into a gully. I've done some stuff, and I've been on planes that landed and went off again. I've been on planes. I've been in some situations, hit some turbulence before, dropped like thousands of feet in a sec. I mean, there's been some stuff when I've been out there where I know, and I knew in that instance in the plane, for example, that the devil was trying to kill me. I knew that's what was happening. And the Lord has seen me through them all. All right. He's seen them, seen me through them all. But what you got to want is you got to want that life that he has. You got to want that more than your life. You can't have both. What did he say? You know, those that will seek to save their life, the same shall lose it. But he that will lose his life for my name's sake, the same shall save it. You got to be willing to lose your life knowing that the life that Christ has for you is far better than any life you can think you could design for yourself. You have to, I mean, if that's not the truth, then God is a four-letter word, maybe a seven-letter word. He's like really nasty if that's not the case, because in other words, he's telling you to lose your life for what? For absolutely what? Why? What is in it for me? Think of that. And the truth of the matter is, if you believe his word, you want to lose your life. You don't want any aspect of your life. And you are glad to get shed of it. You are glad. You rejoice to put it down, stomp your feet on it, put your steel-toe boot to the old life and the old man, and say, down! Down! Apologize for those out there. I kind of might have blown the red lines on that. But you got to get to that place where there is nothing about your old life that you want, period. The only thing you want is the life he has for you. Now, let's go over here to Ephesians 6, because this seems like the exact, well, it's actually a roadmap for doing that, but it sounds to your natural man like the absolute most, how would I just say it, draconian thing that anybody could ever ask of you. This is just putting yourself down as a doormat and just making yourself just nothing. Nothing is ever going to be good for you if you follow this. Let's watch it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So we start off young. Right? We start off young. Children, do you think that way? Do you think, oh, thank you, Dad, for telling me to do this? I so much prefer what you've just told me than what I had planned. Is that how you children think? Gosh, I'm offended. My children don't think that way. What do you think I'm doing? I'm robbing you of your fun, aren't I? Isn't that what you think? I wonder if Hannah's ever experienced anything like that. Probably never with Hannah. But as for the rest of us, we often have that kind of thing. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Can't you give me any other better explanation than that? It's right? So what? I prefer wrong. Let's be honest. Isn't that what really, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, see, the problem with a lot of Christians is you're never honest with yourself. You like to pretend you want these things, but not really want them. You want to say you want these things, but not really want them. So we say things like, obey your parents and the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and mother. But they're not very honorable. I know some of your mothers and fathers. I happen to know my children's mother and father. I also happen to know some of your mothers and fathers. Honor them, honor them, honor them, honor them. That's downright hard. Jesus did. What? It says he went back. I mean, his folks find him in the temple, remember, questioning with the rulers and everything, and they're talking about the word, and he says, wish ye not that I, they're like, why have you not been here with your father, with us, and stuff like that. He says, wish ye not that I must be about my father's business? And it says, and he returned and was subject unto them. Think of that. He knew his heavenly father. He saw his heavenly father. He understood his natural mother and his stepfather, if you will, were not wrapped too tight. He understood all of that and yet was subject unto them. How come you can't be subject? Huh? Gosh. But wait a second. This thing that Jesus did, he was laying down his life, right? Didn't Ricky talk about how he laid down his life when we were yet sinners and he died for the ungodly? What? You can't do that? But that's what he did. You say you want his life, but I don't want to do that. You can't have it both ways, folks. You can't have it both ways. You lie to yourself, and when you justify yourself and think you can have it both ways, that is a lie right out of the pits of hell. One of the verses I was thinking of going to is also in Ephesians, and it talks about the deceitfulness of sin. See, our sin, which is this natural man, it just lies to you at every turn. Justifies you at every turn, makes excuse for you at every turn. And when you give place to those things, you know what? You're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. And then you get the unpleasant task of somebody like me coming up and saying, you know what's happening here? You're deceiving yourself. And then what do you get? You get pissed at me. Who does he think he is? Nobody. I can see that. Why? Because God showed it to me. Not because I'm somebody, but that's who he is. Do you not get it? That's who he is. He wants to share his stuff with you. He's not trying to hide it from you. Well, let's watch this a little further. There's a verse here that to me is very funny. Okay. So honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Seems like a pretty nice thing. I can tell you, children, for example, the day my children came out here, you know what we have out here? We have things like rattlesnakes. Lots of them. I hate rattlesnakes. I don't like snakes any day. But rattlesnakes particularly give me kind of the rattlesnake. Ooh. I see Hannah's got, ooh, going on like me. I'm like, ah, I don't like rattlesnakes, okay? There's rattlesnakes. There's things like scorpions out here. There's insects that are poisonous. I mean, there's like all kinds of nasty stuff here. Now, my children lived in Vermont before they came out here. There was nothing poisonous in Vermont except the doctrines that were preached out there. But as far as natural things, you didn't have to worry too much about poisonous stuff. So my children were accustomed their entire life of turning over every stone, looking under every bush, checking out every single thing. I mean, they got in that stuff. They got dirty, checking it out and loving it. Then they come out here, don't touch that, don't leave that, don't pick up that thing, don't this, don't that, right? that it may be well with you and that you may have long life. You ought to learn to respect these things. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. We know why you provoke your children to wrath. You know why? Because you make it all about you. When you make it all about you, you know, children have this little sensitivity meters, but, you know, Chris Moynihan was always good this way. He was good at seeing other people at being all about them. He wasn't so good at seeing himself and it being all about him, but if you were all about yourself, Chris saw that. It was like to him, like having a big boil on the end of your nose. I don't have to listen to that person. It's all they're doing is correcting me and all these different things for themselves. It has nothing to do with what's right or correct or anything like that. I mean, he was an outstanding judge at your selfishness. Saw it like just nothing. You didn't see. He saw it, and he knew he was right. He knew he was absolutely right. But what happens is that, see, when we make it about ourselves, we provoke our children to wrath. When we don't, you can do this next part. Watch this. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, gosh, that sounds so motherly and loving, doesn't it? Nurture and admonition just sounds like so soft and gentle and nice and almost like petting. Doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like that? I dare any of you to look up the word that's translated, nurture. You know what the word is? Chastening. Well, that doesn't sound too much like nurturing to me. Go look it up. I mean, it's funny. I mean, because I looked it up one time and I was like, really? 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 Nurture and admonition. And the admonition is basically a rebuke. Oh, sure, here my wife's got it for me. And this is the condensed version of Strong's. It says, tutorage, education, or training by implication, disciplinary correction, chastening, chastisement, instruction, nurture. Is that what you thought when you read that? Or did you have in mind the kind of petting, nice, gentle, loving mommy that he's telling guys to be like a mommy? Yeah. Is that how Jesus was? No. See what happens? We have these wrong ideas. We have these very wrong ideas. And then we judge according to these very wrong ideas. And we find faulting those who the Lord has established in authority. And we think, they just don't understand. They just don't get me. They just don't this. No. The truth of the matter is, one that doesn't get it is you. See, and Rick's talking about here, you know, being alienated from that life of God that he has for us. I mean, hello. Let's just be honest with ourselves for a moment. Let's be honest. All right. We read the gospel, right? Now let's look at your life. Okay. Let's put up the life of the gospel that we read about Jesus. Then let's put up your life. Are they alike? Are they alike? Well, if they're not alike, then where's the problem? Is the problem with God? I'll tell you what happens is we think it is, and we're not honest enough to say it. I have to tell you, sometimes I've gotten downright pissed off at God and told him so, hoping I wasn't going to be killed in the process. But because I was really angry and really pissed at some of the things he's wanted me to do and he thought were good ideas. I mean, seriously, some kind of pissed. And seriously, I mean, Davey sometimes said things that made me so mad. Made me just so mad. I know that probably has never happened to anybody else here, but me, sometimes he said things to me that made me so unbelievably furious. And I just knew that he was wrong. Anybody ever have that where he would say something to you, or maybe I've said something to you, and you just knew? I mean, absolutely knew. There was no even need to even bring it up to anybody. No need to even have this thought tried in the light of day. Because, of course, you already knew that you were right, right? Anybody ever had that experience? Yeah, people, I see Corey raising his hand. He's one there, and you can see it in Corey in a good way. You can. See, that's honest. See, when I was out there basically kind of, I don't know if I'd say I was cussing God out, but I was cussing and talking to God at the same time. Maybe that would be the way to describe it. I was doing some serious cussing. Not very purdy talking because of my anger and fury about some things. But I was being honest. I was not trying to hide it. I was not trying to pretend it was something it was not. I was not glossing it over. I was letting it lay absolutely bare in all its horridness right there before him. Because I knew I needed help. And if this was true, I knew I needed a lot of help. I needed a lot of help because this was really hard for me to want to do, believe is true, or any other thing. You got to get to that place where the truth is what matters to you, folks. So, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That word nurture is you're training them. But as you're training them, one of the things that people don't realize is that, see, God honors his word. He doesn't honor you. He honors his word. You want to walk in that honor? Obey his word. Do what it says. You don't want to? Then don't. And complain that, you know, all come up with all the 60 million excuses you want to come up with to explain why you're right and you're just and everything else, and go to hell. The truth of the matter is, that's the end of that conversation. That is the end of it. So let's just keep going on here for a moment. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as a servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. In other words, you have made a decision that it does not matter who it is you're serving. It does not matter that person's nature. Does not matter that person's, what they're asking of you to do. None of that matters. Not a bit. They can ask you anything, and that you're not going to object. You're going to do it heartily as unto the Lord, not with eye service, not trying to make him think that you're with him or she, you're with her, but actually determining to be with them. To be with them. Woo! This doesn't sound fun at all, does it? This doesn't sound fun at all. This sounds like the exact opposite of fun, doesn't it? I mean, let's be honest. And what I'm reading here, does any of this sound like fun to you? That this is what, boy, I can't wait to get started doing this. Does it? Well, what you're seeing is you're seeing your pride. You're seeing your self-righteousness. You're seeing your self-love. That's what you're staring in the face. That's why it doesn't seem fun. When you believe in the goodness of God, these things then become simple roadmaps to walking in the blessings of God. You look at these things and your whole attitude changes. Your whole attitude changes to thanksgiving. My God, that means all over the place I have opportunities to serve God. All over the place. I mean, it's right before me. I don't have to wait. I don't have to wait for somebody to say, you're an ordained minister, now go forward and do this. I can today, in my ordinary, normal life, do things that are going to please God and that he's going to bless me in, and that I can count on that blessing to be upon me. I can count on it. Is that how you look at that life? Finding that new life divine? Is that how you look at these things? That, thank you, Lord. Thank you for such simple, straightforward instructions that are not difficult to understand. Is that hard to understand? But isn't it the exact opposite of what you by nature want to do? Let's be honest. Isn't it the exact opposite of what you by nature want to do? See, what you got to do is you got to get down to the truth about these things. You got to recognize the truth about yourself. I don't want to do that, Lord. That's why I haven't been doing it. It's not because you haven't been clear. It's because I haven't wanted to do it. When I read that thing, I move on to the next thing. Surely there's some better verse I could focus on than this. I mean, really, how much do you meditate about verses like this? How much time do you really spend just looking at your daily life and the opportunities that are before you and comparing them to the Word of God and going, all right, Lord, I have been really screwing up radically. I have been completely off course, and I apologize. And Lord, truth is, I really don't think I want to do that. But I know you want me to do it, and I pray, Lord, that you will strengthen and fortify my will to do thy will, and that you will bring me joy in these things like the promise of God is. Please, Lord, help me. When you're honest, you'll say things like that, and you'll pray that sort of way. You won't pretend that you're a good Christian, and that you're a good person, and that you're not the ungodly for which he died. You'll know, I am the ungodly. He says to do this. Truth is, I want to flee like hell from that. But the fact of the matter is, that's what's going to take me to hell if I keep that attitude. So let me flee my attitude and join with his. That's what you got to want to do. N.G. Masters, oh, watch this one. I love verse 8. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Thanks, Rick. Verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. See, we get all hung up about our circumstances, the unjustness of our circumstances, the fact that nobody understands our circumstances and how pitiful our circumstances are and how unfair our circumstances are, don't we? Think about it. How much time do people waste with all that kind of stupidity? Tremendous amounts of time. Tremendous. Get over yourself. You are alienated from the life of God that you have in Christ Jesus. If you will do as he says, no matter what your circumstances is, his joy, his power, his love, his grace, his presence in your life, that peace that passeth understanding is there for you. And when you got that, you don't care about any of the other stuff. You don't care about it. In fact, you begin to recognize that, man, God's probably had some pretty good reason for allowing these circumstances to be here. For a jerk like me, how else was I going to see? How else was I going to learn? How else was I going to know? Really, most of the circumstances you find that you find yourself in, you're the one who got yourself there, but you're blaming others. And you don't realize that they're there for what purpose? To bring you back into that sweet spot between yourself and the Lord that he can bless you. And the part that you've been resisting is moving to that sweet spot. You've been too busy justifying yourself. Too busy finding fault with others. Too busy on all of those fronts, wasting your time. And so you've missed it. You've missed it. The gospel's simple. The gospel is simple. See, when that child's doing what it's saying, the child's learning service. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So when you keep my commandments, you're evidencing that you love Jesus. When you serve a master, not with eye service, but heartily as unto the Lord, you're demonstrating to that master and to everybody around you that you love Jesus. And because of that, his blessing will be on you. Look at a good example of this, and I know we're right up next to the time, I apologize. Joseph in Egypt. Think of your circumstances. Just think of just how awful your siblings are. how awful your brothers and sisters in the Lord are. Now think of one who they conspire together to kill him, and then one intervenes that maybe death is just a little too bad. So let's just throw him into this hole and sell him into slavery in Egypt. Boy, count my lucky stars. Thank you, Jesus. You know, there was a black man by the name of Booker T. Washington who saw African slavery as being just like Joseph for the good of the black man. Not because slavery was right, not because what they did was right, but it meant that they got to know Jesus. And when they got that, they got to share it with others who of their own brethren who did not know him. Think of that attitude with being a slave, brought over, picked up over there and brought into this country and stuff like that against your will, and then stripped down naked and have people feeling around all your different parts and then buying you and thinking that could have actually been a blessing of God to you. Think of that. But that's pretty much what happened to Joseph. He gets over there. So what's he do? He gets over there and he embraced the scenario he was in. He served his master, didn't he? He served his master so much that the master knew that God was with him and put everything in his household under him. His wife, the master's wife, that is, loved Joseph more than her own husband. She tries to go get him into bed with her. She brings him in on an errand and stuff like that. Joseph realizes what it's about. He flees. She grabs hold of his clothes. He leaves his clothes there, and she then uses them as the trophy. All right, you won't have me. You're going down. And she lies to her husband and gets Joseph thrown into jail. What does Joseph do there? He serves his jailer. He serves his jailer. Did any of these things happen because of things that were right done on the other people's part? Did God not bless Joseph above all of his brethren? Above all who were on the earth in his day? And look what he did. He serves each of these different things. Then what happens? He comes out of jail and he serves Pharaoh in an extraordinary way. In an extraordinary way. And then he serves his brethren and loves them to the end, even after that which they had done unto him. See, the attitude it's speaking of over here is the attitude that Joseph manifested. You want to have the blessing of Joseph? You want to have the blessing of Jesus? You want to have these blessings on your life? Do likewise. Adopt the same attitude. Get shed of all the other stupidity. Just get shed of it. Don't accept it. Don't give it any place in your life. The place you give it in your life, the one who's robbed, is you. Gotta stop this, folks. You gotta stop this. This is the mind of Christ. This is the mind that's to be in us. If you will embrace it, God will bless you. If you don't, he won't. It's that simple. He's not going to change his word for you. I hope you will choose to embrace it. I hope you really will. I hope you'll be honest with yourself enough to get down and recognize that you have not wanted any part of that. You wanted all the good stuff. Don't get me wrong. I get everybody here has always wanted all the good stuff. I get that. That's the truth, isn't it? Is there anybody here who didn't want the good stuff? No, I know everybody wanted the good stuff. This is the passage. It's the passage. Don't reject the passage. Embrace it. Thank God for it. Go forward in it. Amen? All right, we'll play a few more songs here. I know we're a little past the hour, folks. Hope you'll join us with these. For folks out there listening, we have our discipleship meeting tonight. First one, 6 o'clock Mountain Time, 8 o'clock. It's not going to be broadcast online, but if you're interested in being a part of it, get with us. You're welcome to come and join us. It's not closed. We're going to talk about the things we've been preaching about here today. May the Lord bless you.
Ready to trade your sorrows?
Amen.
Amen. Shame, sickness, pain, lay them down for the Lord, for the joy of the Lord.
in my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
I'm trading my sorrows.
I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Pressed but not crushed, persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down but not destroyed. Blessed beyond the curse, and his promise will endure. For his joy is gonna be my strength. Though the darkness may last for a night, his joy comes in the morning. I'm trading my sorrows. I'm trading my shame. Joy of the Lord. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading my pain. I'm laying them down for the joy of the Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, amen.
Praise you, Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Praise you, Lord.
Lord. Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, we want to trade that old life, Lord. We want to trade it. We want to lay it down and take up that new life that you have for us, Lord. I don't care where you are, how long you've been in the Lord, whatever it is that's going on that may be causing you right now in the name of Jesus to not believe that that can be you. I just take authority over all of that nonsense and cast it down in the name of Jesus. And I lift up in its place. I lift up in its place faith in Jesus Christ and what he can do. And may he bring that extraordinary miracle to pass by his power and by his love in each of your lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the Donate button located on our site, at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.